Good morning. Welcome to the divine service for the transfiguration of our Lord. Fair warning, a little bit this morning. I have some plugged up ears, so I have absolutely no idea how softly or loudly I'm speaking right now. So I'm going to do the best I can with all that. So we'll ride that pony together. Right now, let's begin with our opening hymn, the Transfiguration hymn, "'Tis, Lord, Good to Be Here."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, February 19th, 2023 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 414, "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here," hymn number 414 in the Lutheran Service Book. Donna McLaughlin is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in loving memory of Scott McLaughlin. The Don Miller Memorial is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins,
God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most
merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continue with our responsive song. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The old the Old Testament reading for this Sunday, the Transfiguration of our Lord, from the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate, and they drank. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait here, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to Christian questions and their answers. Do you believe then that the true body and blood of Christ are in the sacrament?
Yes, I believe it.
What convinces you to believe this?
The word of Christ. "Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood."
What should we do when we eat his body and drink his blood and in this way receive his pledge?
We should remember and proclaim his death and the shedding of his blood as he taught us. "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The epistle reading from 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. Peter writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 873, "Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies," hymn number 873 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text this morning from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And Jesus came to them and touched them, and said, "Get up and do not be afraid." Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But we are each well acquainted with the account of Jesus' transfiguration. He takes Peter and James and John with him, either up Mount Tabor or Mount Hermon. And there they see Jesus' glory. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus is in his state of humiliation. You remember that from confirmation class, when Jesus does not always and fully use his divine authority and divine powers. We see some of those glimpses behind the curtain when he calms the seas, raises the dead, heals the sick. We get a peek into his glory and his majesty. But here, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is changed before our very eyes. We see the second person of the Holy Trinity, normally veiled, muted by flesh and blood. Here, though, we get a glimpse of the unveiled Jesus Christ, the unveiled second person of the Trinity. Now, when we address this text, we often remind ourselves, especially before Lent, that Moses and Elijah were there. They were there to prepare Jesus for his exodus, his leaving to go down the mountain to face his suffering, his death, his rejection, his execution on the cross, all these things. This is what Jesus is getting ready to face. I mean, that's why we have this account of the Transfiguration before we begin Lent. Because we are beginning that journey to the cross also. Jesus is beginning that journey to the cross. Here we may also see a peek into heaven. Always asking ourselves questions like, how did Peter know it was Moses and Elijah? There was no videotape of Moses and Elijah. There were no paintings of Moses and Elijah. And so, we must have this glimpse into heaven where you will know everyone in heaven. You will know who you are seeing and addressing, because Peter knew immediately Moses and Elijah. That's who they were seeing. Often pieces of sermons might dwell on how flummoxed Peter was at this. He saw the sight and, you know, Peter could not contain himself and he just blurted things out. It's good for us to be here. Let's build three booths, one for you, one for Moses and Elijah. And the gospel writer says he said that because he didn't know what else to do. There's Peter blurting things out, saying the first thing that came to his mind. But today, though, let's take some time and let's focus on some of the words of this text. The words that the Holy Writer used to describe the experience of seeing Jesus in His glory and hearing the voice of God. The words are words like transfigured, radiant, cloud, beloved, delight, fall afraid, approach, touch, get up. Matthew and Mark, in writing of this episode, both used the word transfigured. Metamorphosized is what they write. Jesus was metamorphosized before them. There was a change in Jesus' earthly appearance from natural to supernatural, from earthly to heavenly. Luke uses the word altered. His face was altered. And this word altered comes with the connotation of it as other. Jesus' face. And this is a great word. A word that says, I can't describe what I'm seeing. It's just other. That's what Luke uses to describe Jesus' transfiguration. And on the one hand, we see Jesus' face shining in the brightness like the sun, like Helios. And on the other hand, his garments were luminous as they filtered out of the brilliance of his person. His garments weren't made white from the outside. They were made white from the inside. I know this is kind of shaky, but as I was looking what those words meant and thinking of them, I thought of a kitchen window. Maybe this isn't valid. I don't know. It's just what popped into my head. You've got this kitchen window with a valance. You got glass, pane here, glass pane down here, valance up here, shears down on the bottom half. You get that picture in your head. But this part of the window from the valance to the top of the shears, is there's no curtain. No curtain over it. And the sun comes through the glass and it's so bright and just lights up the kitchen. And then the part with the shears on it, the sun is still coming through, but the sun is lighting up the curtains. You can kind of look at the sun through the curtain, but it's making the curtains have this muted glow with them. This glow. And that was the picture I saw in my head when I was reading those words. Something maybe that we can think of or wrap our minds around. But like Luke, we can't really wrap our minds around it. This experience that the disciples were going through was just other. We are reminded of God's appearing on Mount Sinai, our Old Testament reading. Moses went up on the mountain, and the glory of the Lord dwelt on the mountain for 6 days. Glory, that word. Glory, splendor, majesty. The Lord was on Mount Sinai. And Peter would later write that they were eyewitnesses of Jesus' majesty. Our epistle reading for today. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we described this to you, for we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And Peter goes on to say, not just majesty, but majestic glory. Peter relates that they saw His magnificence and His mighty power. And then he compounds the second Peter reading with more adjectives. Majestic glory, worthy of dignity, honor, worship, and praise. This is what they saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter declares Jesus was surrounded with honor and worship and the presence and the glory of God. Now remember, on the seventh day, on Mount Sinai, the Lord called to Moses out of the cloud. The Hebrew word meaning what we would say a nimbus or a thunder cloud. Here on the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud descends enveloping Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And the cloud is full of the glory of God. Just like when the glory of God descended on the tent of meeting in the Old Testament. The cloud descends on the tent of meeting and the glory of God fills the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. So too does this cloud settle over the very dwelling of God with men. Jesus Christ Himself. And it envelops Moses and Elijah. Here, this cloud is bright, shining. It is radiant. It is lustrous, transparent, and full of light. And as if that were not enough, God Almighty speaks from the cloud. And the subject of the Father's speech is His very own Son. Thundering from the clouds came the words, "This is my dearly loved, my well-beloved Son." This Son, I personally take delight in Him. This Son, I love. This Son, listen to Him. Pay attention to what He has to say. This is not like the voice that Jesus heard at His baptism. Because there, people were confused, you know. Some said it had thundered. We find at Jesus' baptism. But not here. Not here. No, to Peter, James, and John, this was an unmistakable voice. There was absolutely no doubt as to whose voice this voice was. And overwhelmed by the divine majesty, the Scripture tells us, with the words chosen by the holy writers, these men flung themselves to the ground and buried their faces in the dirt at the voice that came from the majestic glory. And they were extremely scared. In other words, they were terrified. And Jesus approached them. He touched them. And he said to them, "Stop being afraid. I think this visual is so stunning. Here for us for a moment." Now you picture in your mind, picture in your head. The disciples were tired. They were sleepy. Jesus is off. All of a sudden they see the brightness. They're awake. It's going on. The cloud is descending. Peter's, "We don't know what to do. Shall we build three booths?" The voice comes from the cloud, and wham! They're on their faces. And then the next thing we hear is that Jesus approached them and touched them. And we were sitting in pastor's conference this past Tuesday as we were discussing this text, and the image came to my mind flat on the ground. Did Jesus bend over like this? I don't think so. Here you have a visual, the image of Jesus stepping out of the glory down to his disciples, bending down to their level. "Don't be afraid. Get up." The visual is so stunning. These men were flat, and the picture is that Jesus walked up to them and bent down and touched them. Jesus, the dearly beloved of the Father, the source of all God's pleasure. Jesus, of whom you said today already in the Creed, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, steps out of the glory and comes to them. So what power touch has to be touched or to not be touched comes with great power. Jesus approaches them. Jesus comes to you. He steps out of glory. And he comes to you. We see this in the waters of holy baptism. It is not here we climbing the ladder to Jesus. It is God. It's God descending upon us, coming into our existence, claiming us as his very own children. You have been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. Here is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Out of glory into our world. Here is the absolution, where we have each, in that 15 seconds of silence, had run through our heads our failures, our weaknesses, our lusts, our desires, our sins. And Christ reaches out to you through the absolution and touches you and says, "Do not be afraid. Get up. Face your life yet again, but do not be afraid." Here is communion. The very body and blood of Christ. What convinces you to believe this? The words of Christ, "Take, eat, this is my body, drink of it, all of you, this is my blood." Here, today, this morning, your God comes to you and gives you himself, touches you,
and says, "Stop being afraid. Get up. Like Simeon, you get up today, having held the very body and blood of Christ in your hands. Let your servant now depart." What powerful liturgy. What powerful words that are going on. All the places where your Lord God has come, and He meets you. You who've been abandoned by friends. You who struggle daily through life. You who pound your way through your marriages. You who come here to meet your God. You covered in your sin. Your God comes to you in each of life's situations. He touches you and He says, "Don't be afraid. Get up." In each of these ways, Jesus is stooping down to us. He's coming to us. And in the same way, He says to us, "Stop being afraid." The disciples were afraid of the glory and the majesty of God. We are afraid of our own sin. We are afraid of what we endure in life. Jesus' word to you this day is, stop being afraid. Today you see Jesus in His glory. He is the God who steps into humanity. He is the very glory you will reflect. See Jesus in the Transfiguration. See yourself. For here you see weakness and sadness and death and sorrow. All the things that are missing and all the weaknesses that we have. See in the Transfiguration your future, your glory, your radiance, your joy. See in Jesus you. For you will reflect His glory. And the glory of your bodies will be shown in the reflection of Jesus' glory. When the mortal is swallowed up, and only the glory and immortality remains, you too will shine like the sun. Here we see that in Christ sin is overcome. And when sin is overcome, there is no more death. You, my friends, have been touched by Christ and you will not die. Your destiny is glory and immortality. Here now your God meets you, and His glory is veiled in the Word, it is veiled in the water of baptism, it is veiled in the bread and wine of the sacrament of the altar, it is veiled in a weak pastor who pronounces the absolution unto you. Here His glory is covered by your parents and your friends who offer to you the words of forgiveness. Those very people in your Sunday schools who teach Christ to you. Those very people who forgive you when you sin against them. Here Jesus comes to you veiled in them. He comes to you in with and under the bread and the wine of the sacrament of the altar. And His word to you is, stop being afraid. For I am your God, and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now all rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Heavenly Father, you revealed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son who dwelt among us in the flesh. Open our eyes that by faith we would see him continuing to live among us in the divine service. Grant that we would heed your admonition to listen to him, to stop being afraid as he forgives and preserves us at the font, on the pulpit, at the altar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy God, we ask for your blessing on this congregation, especially for our catechumens who will soon take their confirmation vows. As Moses was changed when he saw your glory on Mount Sinai, may we who have beheld your glory in the face of Christ also be transformed. Be given boldness of spirit to share your glory abroad. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, Moses and Elijah appeared with the Savior in glory, witnessing all the law and the prophets speak, witnessing to all the law and the prophets speak about him. Grant wisdom to all pastors and church workers to open your scriptures in such a way that everyone would hear the voice of Jesus calling them to life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, bless the families of your church, that parents would teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all households. Remember also all expectant mothers, that they and their babies would be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with authority both here and abroad to serve with integrity and honor for the well-being of all. Grant that all division, conflict, and strife would give way to unity, peace, and quietness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of all comfort, you alone bring the peace that passes all understanding to troubled hearts. Remember the afflicted. Especially do we pray this morning for Rita Kleinschmidt as she is recovering from back surgery. We thank you so much for successful surgery and pray for a swift recovery for her. For Wilma Stocker, who's recovering from her heart attack. Strengthen her heart, O Lord, and strengthen her to return home. We pray for Verna Mason, who is approaching the end of her days, that you would constantly be by her side. And in the same way, we pray for Lori Bishop as she cares for her daughter-in-law, Rebecca, as Rebecca now battles cancer. We also pray for a friend of our congregation, Dick Simmons, as he is in ill health and has been convalescing in the hospital. We pray also for those whom we name in our hearts. We ask that those who are in our hearts and in our prayers would know your presence, taste your peace, and receive healing according to your gracious will, ever trusting in the hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord, we praise you, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Continue to give your blessing upon Vernon and Janet Clockengay, as they thank you that yesterday they were able to celebrate their 61st wedding anniversary. We pray you grant that Vernon and Janet would ever be examples to their children of marital love and devotion as they continue to live out their wedding vows each and every day. Please, O Lord, grant them many more years to celebrate together your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord God, your power is beyond compare and your glory is beyond all understanding. Open our hearts to know you through the glory of your Son, whose saving will and purpose has rescued us from sin and death and made us your own people by baptism and faith. For to you, blessed and eternal Father, belong all honor and glory, worship and praise, with your beloved Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
We now all rise for the singing of our offertory. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to the disciples that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting.
Depart in his peace.
Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift.
And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Grant thee his peace. And we now conclude our divine service with the singing of the last Alleluias we will sing until Easter Sunday.
The closing hymn is number 821, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, hymn number 821 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Just a couple brief announcements before we begin this morning, or before we end this morning. Please remember our junior high, senior high youth group tonight from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Christian formation and game night. If you're coming to that, please bring a snack. Also, please remember that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We begin our Lenten devotion Wednesday evening with corporate confession and absolution, the imposition of ashes, and the reception of the sacrament of the altar. Very important time in our Christian devotion and Christian life to begin our Lenten season. And now a couple of members of our youth group, Caitlin Ray and Ellie Rage, are coming down to make an announcement. I'm going to turn this microphone on for them so they can use it. You go, ladies.
The youth group's breakfast and board games event is next Sunday on February 26th. It'll take place after the second service, so that's about 11:45. So it's a youth group event with the seniors in our church and the members of the youth group. And if you're planning on attending, whether you're a senior or a youth, please sign up on this sheet. It'll be on the counter outside the sanctuary so that we can know how many people we need to cook for. Our youth group is looking forward to serving breakfast and playing games with you next week.
Thank you very much, ladies. And now may the Lord bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.